what's best, my Lord. I want what you want for me. Oh, I want what you want for me. Oh, I want what you
stand this morning and make it personal. Yes, Jesus.
Oh, I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may.
Amen. God bless you. I've got a testimony that we want to share. Brother Joel Heron-Bassick had sent this in, and we shared it Wednesday night, but wanted to share it again this morning. It says, Brother Nathan, I want to testify to the Church of God's healing power and provision for every need. I initially had a doctor's appointment Wednesday, July 13th, for swelling in my left leg and tiredness that had been going on for a few days. They initially found no discernible cause, and being relatively healthy, they immediately thought that I might have a blood clot in my leg. I was sent to Clark Memorial Hospital for a stat ultrasound of my left leg, as a clot could travel to a person's lungs, causing death. The ultrasound came back clear, praise God. That same day, they also did blood tests and found high levels of calcium and elevated liver enzymes. on Sunday, July 17th, I was tired of fighting whatever the devil was trying to put on me, and I came up for prayer, just claiming my healing as my brothers prayed for me and anointed me with oil. At this point, I knew that God had already healed me no matter what they might find. I was scheduled Thursday, July 21st for a follow-up appointment for more blood to be drawn for a dozen different blood tests and to have an ultrasound of my liver. The ultrasound of my liver came back clear, but the next Friday, the doctor's office called me with the results of the blood work. I had tested positive for hepatitis B, and they wanted to schedule me for a follow-up visit right away on Monday, July 25th to discuss the results and explain my options. Having been in the medical field for some years, I knew this was a very serious diagnosis. Sunday, July 24th, knowing more about the results from my blood work, I once again came forward for prayer, knowing the devil is a liar and a bluff that can't stand before the power of our God. When I went to the doctor's office to discuss the results of my test, they explained the severity of hepatitis B and explained all the possible things that could happen, such as liver damage and having to deal with the effects of the virus. They scheduled me August 2nd to see a specialist concerning the results so that I could proceed with the best possible treatment of the disease. I went to see the specialist, and he discussed the issues around a positive hepatitis B blood test. They drew more blood to assess whether this was a chronic infection more than 6 months or an acute infection recent in the last 6 months. I was told that the results would take a week to get back, as they would have to send the blood to a special lab in Cincinnati. Well, 1 week finally arrived, and we called for the results, and they told me that they found no hepatitis B in my system. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. God's still a healer, isn't he?
Amen.
He says, praise our mighty God who is more than able in every situation. I continue to believe for my body's complete healing and restoration. I want to thank all of my brothers and sisters in Christ for their prayers. God bless you, Brother Joel Heron-Bassick. Amen. So we know that these needs this morning that we bring before the Lord, these prayer requests, the same God that answered in that situation is able to answer for these situations. Brother Darrell is traveling for work and asked for us to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies. Brother Matt and Sister Melissa, they're both have shoulder pain, and several of the children are sick this morning, so I want to remember them in prayer. Brother Isaac Weber and his family not feeling well this morning. Also, Brother Buckles not feeling well. And Sister Vera asked prayer for her brother-in-law who's suffering with arthritis and asked for prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. And the Lord sees each one. Brother Arnie, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests, and we know that God is able to come on the scene for each one. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's a great privilege and an honor that we have to bring our needs to Him. All it takes is two or three, and we have more than that this morning, so let's bow our heads and believe that God will answer every request. Precious Lord, we love you today because you first loved us. We thank you for mercy and grace, and we thank you for revelation, which is the only way that we can find our way into the Holy of Holies. And Lord, we know that every need that's been mentioned and every need that's represented has a promise. There's a promise that we can stand on. We're challenged today by what the Word of God tells us, that every need can be met if we only believe. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this group of believers standing before you this morning. We're humbled in your presence, Lord, and we're so grateful. We're unworthy. Lord, I started to say that we're nothing special, but we are something special. And it's not because of us, it's because of you.
Amen.
It's the only thing that makes anybody somebody. Lord, we're not here today to hear from a man, from a preacher, a prophet, a priest, or king. But we're here today, Lord, because of that pillar of fire that hung over the prophet's head. That's the one, Lord, that's going to lead us into the millennium, and we're so grateful for that. I pray, Lord, for your continued blessing on Brother Nathan and his family and his loyal service here. We ask you now, Lord, that every heart, every hunger, every thirst would be met this morning by the power that's in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. Glad to see each one of you out as you turn to the Psalms, the 25th chapter. Glad to see all of our visitors as well as the regular folks. Psalms 25 this morning, and we'll read 1 through 12. Then the Lord willing, we'll pick up the rest of it next week. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift my soul.
O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me.
Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause.
Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths.
Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day.
Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever old.
Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way.
All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and the judges keep his covenant and his testimonies.
For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What is man that he feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God bless you. Please be seated.
I believe we got a special this morning from Sister Christy, Sister Stephanie Duvall, Brother Anthony, and Sister Tina.
And your will. dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, to draw.
Is that how you feel about it this morning?
Amen.
Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord? God's word, isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful, isn't he? Wonderful, 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 isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. Oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Just sing it to him this morning. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? How many is thankful that you can go free this morning? Amen. Just had this song on my heart. Let's sing it together. Help me sing it if you know it. Oh, you could lock me up in a prison and throw away the key. Oh, you could take from these eyes that now can see, or deprive me of the food I eat, even bind my hands and feet, but as long then I could still go free. Is that how you feel about it this morning? He said that I could still go free. Church, tell me what kind of a man would ever reach down his hand. Oh, and want to leave his throne, why he would don the robe of an earthly man, feel the pain of flesh and bone, and then to later try this morning. He said that I could still go free. Oh, tell me what kind of a man would reach down
can still go free. Oh, now I never could quite understand why my king would want to leave his throne, why he would don that robe like an earthly man and feel the pain of flesh and bone. Then he would later walk down that
came and said that we could go free. And whosoever the Son has set free is free indeed. Sometimes we walk around like we're still bound down, but if you're set free this morning, you don't have to walk around like that anymore. We can recognize that we're free. Amen. God bless you this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Good to have my brother Alan and his wife in town visiting us again from Delaware. And all of you visitors, good to have you with us. All the home folks, always good to see you. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, just a simple thought, but Lord, you laid it on my heart. May it be something that would encourage. Lord, we recognize many times that we see Satan coming in trying to attack, trying to upset homes, trying to upset families, trying to upset lives, trying to upset individuals, and he has so many tactics as he goes about in this age. We see him going around like a roaring lion, but Lord, we're thankful that when we see him come in like a flood, we know that you raise up a standard against him.
Amen.
Lord, knowing that many are going through trials, facing different things, financial, spiritual, physical, all kinds of different needs. But Lord, just had it on my heart this morning to look into this, how that, Lord, you're mindful of even the little things. You're mindful of the sparrows. If one of those can't fall from heaven without you knowing about it, we think of all the creatures, all the animals across the world that you know each one every time they would bat their eye, what their situation would be. Every gnat, every flea, every fly, you knew all about it before the foundation of the world. If you're so mindful to know those type of details, Father, then we know, Lord, that you're mindful of even the little things in our lives. Lord, we thank you for that, Father. What a comfort it is to us. Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I ask you just to anoint me, help me to get myself out of the way. And Lord, may you speak through me something that would be an encouragement to your people. Lord, help us not to get our eyes on the person in the platform, Lord, but the person that's here in our midst, unseen. Lord, may we keep our eyes on you. May your presence dwell with us. May it fill us, Lord. May it not just be something that we feel when we come to church, but Lord, may we keep that abiding presence with us throughout the day, everywhere we go. Lord, on our jobs, at our schools, Lord, when we would go out to the store, wherever it would be, in our vehicles, in our homes, Lord, may you be welcome. May your presence be manifested to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to look at a thought for a little while this morning. I'll try not to keep you long, but I just had this little thought on my heart and thought it might be an encouragement. Just a simple thought, not anything really deep this morning, but Brother Branham said many times it's not the great big things that we're trying to do, but it's the little things that we leave undone. And we just want to look at the God of the little things. And Brother Branham says it this way, "And behold, I stand at the door and knock," in 1958. He says, God don't always look at what we call great. God sees the little things too. God sees the little things. And many times we're almost ashamed, it seems like, to go to God with the little things. Oh, Lord, this is such a petty little thing, or just a little trial, or just a little need, or whatever it would be. But God is just as mindful of the little things as he is the great big things. And Brother Branham tells us this way. He said that cancer is no more than a toothache to God. But God's concerned about the toothache too, just as he is concerned about the cancer. He's concerned about the little needs. Maybe some people have great big financial needs. Maybe you have a little bitty financial need, but he's just as concerned about yours as he is about theirs. Maybe some people go through all kinds of battles. I think of Brother Branham, with the type of ministry that he had and how the enemy would try to attack him and how his wife and daughter taken there and his little baby dying at a young age. Some of us may never have to go through a trial like that, but God's just as mindful of your trial. You might think, oh my, compared to the martyrs that was burned at the stake and pulled asunder and their heads chopped off and ran through with spears and fed to wild lions and all those things, our trials compared to them, when we start thinking about our daily trials and their daily trials, it seems so insignificant and so little bitty compared to theirs. But God is concerned about your situation this morning.
Amen.
He's concerned about the great big things that you're facing, maybe things that you don't even know how you're going to get over them or around them or through them or underneath them. But he's concerned about that. And then little things that maybe it seems like we just think, Lord, I'm even almost ashamed to pray about that. But he's concerned about that. He's mindful of us. He's mindful of our needs. I think of people that have lost different things, you know, and that seems so simple that, oh, you know, I lost a ring or a wallet or a thing like that. You think God, with all the vast predestination and all the things that he's concerned about, souls down through the ages of time and all, everything that he's dealing with and spiritual circumstances and all that, but yet somebody loses a ring and he's concerned about it enough. We've seen many different times. Brother Billy Paul, I know, tells a testimony. He said when him and Sister Lois was out there on the beach and she'd lost her ring, and they'd walked for 2 miles on sand, and hey, how are you ever going to find a little bitty ring on 2 miles of sand? But he went back and he was praying about it, and he said, Lord, it's just something small, it's not that expensive, but it's something that was important to her. And he said he just knelt down there in the sand and he drove his hands down in the sand praying there, and when he brought his hands up out of the sand, the ring was on his finger. God was mindful of it. That seems like a little thing. Why would God do something like that? Because he cares about you. Sister Stephanie, a few years ago, they was on vacation. She lost her wedding band. They couldn't find it anywhere. And you know, it's something that's very special to a woman. It should be. Brother Branham said, you know, I know some people, even around the message, they get so legalistic they don't believe in wearing rings. But Brother Branham said a married woman should wear a ring to identify herself that she's somebody's. And so they had lost it, and she began to get concerned, and her and Sister Mary Beth sat down on the bed and began to pray. They'd been all over shopping and different things down through town. She got home and realized she didn't have it, and as they sat down there on a bed and began to pray, Sister Mary Beth stood up, and when she did, that ring went plinkety, plinkety, plinkety across the floor. Amen. I don't believe the ring was there in her skirt somewhere. I believe that God just put it there. Brother Branham said it this way. He said he had a Barlow knife, just an old cheap Barlow knife back on his dresser at home, and he said, if I had a need or if I had faith, and he said, the Barlow knife, knowing that it's back there on the desk somewhere, but he said, faith could put it in my pocket. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you just must not have seen some of the things that I've seen. Amen. God's able. He's more than able. We had a sister, Brother Jack Duff, his wife was in town. Him and his wife came to preach some special meetings for us one time, and she lost her cell phone. And, you know, that can be replaced, but it had some photos of the family that she wanted on it. And we had, it would cost to replace it. And they had a rental car there. And Brother Jack and I looked high and low, every nook and every cranny and every place you could think of in that van. We looked all over for it. Couldn't find it, and we stepped out of the van. I said, let's just pray. I said, Lord, just a simple prayer. You know, it's not about the extravagant and the great swelling words and a 50-minute prayer sometimes. I just said, Lord, there was a man one time that had lost some mules, and he was concerned about him enough to show the prophet where the mules was. And there was a man one time that had lost a car. You know the story of Brother Evans, and God was concerned enough to show Brother Branham where the car was. There was a man one time that had lost some keys. Brother Sothman there had lost the keys to his trailer, and God showed Brother Branham where the keys were at. It was in a sweater that he hadn't worn in several days in a closet, and all those type of things. And one time there was an Indian boy named Oscar that had lost some ponies, and up in the mountains in the time of snow and with mountain lions and everything back in there. And Brother Branham said, Oscar, you'll find the ponies standing in snow. And he wrote him a letter several months later and said, Brother Branham, Oscar find ponies standing in snow. Amen. So it seemed impossible. How could they be there? How could they have survived the winter? How could they have survived the mountain lions and everything out there? But God said it was going to be there. God was concerned. And so I just begin to pray along those lines. Lord, you were concerned about those, and you're not a respecter of persons. And we opened up the car door, and sitting right in one of the little sections in the dash that we looked at about three times, there was the cell phone. Now, I didn't put it there. I don't have the ability, but God put it there. Amen. You say, oh, I just don't know if God would be concerned about me enough, some of these little things. Maybe it's a test at school. Brother Branham said, you should pray about those things. He says, and come follow me. And in choosing of a bride in different places, he said, it's good for the children to come in and gather around if they have a test and have prayer about those type of things. He said, it'd be better off than going and trying to cheat on it. And I believe God's mindful of us. I am not able, I don't have the capability or the ability to do everything on my own. I've recognized that long ago. To get up in front of a group of people and try to say anything that would be meaningful, I would just stumble around and search for words or scriptures or something. And after about 5 minutes, I'd have to sit down and say, I'm sorry, folks. I guess it just wasn't the Lord this morning. But there's something about it that when he comes, it's a different story. There's something different. I can't do it on my own. I don't have the ability. As I was talking recently, you know, several families losing loved ones and things like that. I don't have the ability to say something that would encourage during a time like that. What words can you use? What can you say? But when God comes on the scene and gives you something that can encourage and comfort, I can say that I know that's not me. Brother Hoover, I hope I don't get ahead of you and use this, but he was telling me the other day, you know, how that just God sometimes uses the simple things. I don't claim to be anything. I don't want you to look at me as some big somebody and think, oh my, Brother Nathan, what a wonderful. No, anything that's good is coming through him. Amen. It's not Brother Nathan. Anything that is accomplished good, whether it be at the church or whether it be through a sermon or helping somebody outside of the church financially, whatever it would be, the only thing I can say that Nathan Bryant did was just get himself out of the way a little bit so that God could lead him. That's the only thing I can do is just follow his leading. But we find many times talking the other day about a song that I was singing here and just felt kept like it was being impressed on me. Sing that verse again. And we had already sang that verse twice, and I thought, Lord, I'm not sure it's just that little unction Brother Branham talked about, said, no, sing it again. And I said, well, you might think I'm crazy, but I'm going to sing that third verse again. And there was a sister that text messaged my wife and I after service. She said, I was just sitting there thinking I could sing that third verse over and over and over. And just as I thought that, you said, you might think I'm crazy, but we're going to sing it again. Now, I didn't know what she was thinking, but he knew what she was thinking. And he worked on both ends of the line. Sometimes ministers especially, but maybe not even just ministers, some of you in your own individual life, sometimes you'll do something and you'll think, why on earth did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I call that person at 11 o'clock at night to tell them I was praying about them? Well, maybe that God was working on both ends of the line and they needed encouragement. Sometimes we scratch our heads and say, Lord, why did I do that? I don't know why I said that or why I did that. And God placed a little unction in us to do something. But Brother Hoover was telling me a few years ago at a youth camp, he was singing, leading the songs there, and he just felt led to say they were singing, Take Your Burdens to the Lord and leave him there. And he said, I just told the young people there, I said, if you've got something that you've been struggling about, why don't you just take it to the back door and just leave it there? And he said, I thought, why on earth would I have said that? And he said, even after service, a lady kind of chastised him about it, said he shouldn't have done it. And he said, well, thank you. God bless you. You know, it takes all kinds sometimes. Some people think they're doing a great help, and they don't realize sometimes that it's the enemy using them instead of the other way around. But she was trying to discourage him. But he said, 2 years later, he didn't get a pat on the back that day, and he didn't go know why he did it that day. Maybe 2 years, he thought, Lord, was that really you? Why on earth did I do that? 2 years later at a camp, a brother comes and sits down at a meal after one of the services, said, I'd like to sit across from you. He was a minister brother. And he said, Brother David, I want to tell you something. He said, we had a son that was very rebellious. Oh, God knows how to do things, doesn't he? And he said, after camp a couple years ago, he said, that son came home, and after about 3 weeks, we noticed there's something different about this child. And he said, we approached him and we said, what's going on? We don't want to, you know, point you out or embarrass you, but we just noticed there's something that's different about you. And he said, well, he said at camp, he said, Brother Hoover was leading songs. And he said, if you've got something that you've been struggling with, why don't you just take it to the back door and leave it there? And he said, I know that I've treated you and my brothers and sisters the way I shouldn't, being rebellious and talking back and things like that. And he said, I just went to the back door and I just thought, Satan, I'm just leaving it here. And he said, I've just been different ever since. So Brother Hoover didn't know why he did it, but God had a reason for doing it. Sometimes, there may be many times we don't find out the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, till we get over on the other side and somebody come up and shake our hands and say, oh, brother or sister, you just don't know what that encouraging word right when I needed it. Or maybe somebody would have committed suicide if you hadn't called them at the right time to just give them a little encouragement. Or maybe they would have backslid if you hadn't been there to encourage them at the right time. But God knows how to work on both ends of the line. Sometimes it seems so simple, so humble. Brother Bram talks about the little washwoman, and he said she was just, you know, she wasn't a prophet, she wasn't a preacher, wasn't a missionary, just a little humble washwoman, but she had a burden on her heart to see revival in her city, and she began to save up money. She would wash. This was before the fancy front loader washing machines that you sisters have now. It was back when it was an old scrubbing board, and she would have people that had money and didn't want to do the wash. They would send the clothes to her, and they'd give her maybe a nickel, you know, an hour or whatever to scrub, and she would wash on this old scrubbing board and wash and wash and wash, and she saved, and finally she had enough money to rent an old livery stable. Didn't have a nice church like this, probably wasn't air conditioned, but it was an old livery stable, and she got in there and she began to clean it out and sweep it out. You know, sometimes just because you aren't the prophet or you aren't the pastor doesn't mean that there's not something that you can do. Amen. She couldn't maybe bring the message, and she couldn't maybe get up and preach a sermon or any of those things, but yet she had something that she was able to do, and she had a burden on her heart, and she didn't just give up and say, well, I guess because I'm not a deacon or I'm not a trustee or I'm not a Sunday school teacher, I guess there's nothing for me to do. But she took what she had and she put it into service for the Lord, and she gets in there and she's sweeping out the livery stable and putting in a little elbow grease, trying to clean it up as nice as she could, and she had a little bit of money left, and she went and took it and had some tracts printed up and paid a traveling circuit rider preacher to come in and hold this revival, and him and her stood on the corner and they would pass out these tracts and flyers about the services, and oh, no doubt her heart was beginning to swell. Lord, I've been saving maybe 3 years to be able to afford to do this, and I've washed over an old scrubbing board, and I've tried, and I've got in contact with this minister that I feel like you can use, and then we cleaned out the livery stable, and we've had these tracts and flyers printed up, and they stood there and people would just look at them and rip them up and throw them down and walk over them, and they stood there, and finally one little uneducated boy that couldn't even read came up and said, ma'am, what does that say? And she read it to him. Maybe they passed out hundreds of flyers, and they got to the service that night in the livery stable. That one little unintelligent, uneducated boy came into the service. Now, most of us would have probably, you know, we're too dignified for something like that. We would say, well, I guess the meeting's just a failure. We'll just dismiss and go home. But she had made preparations, and she had did something a little extra and went the extra mile. Brother Branham said it this way in the church in its condition. He said there was people up in Canada where they would go to have services, and he said they'd come for miles in sleds and things, and they'd travel through snow and snow drifts and all kinds of things to be at the meeting. And he said, no doubt there'll be a great success success. He said, because where there's great sacrifice, there's great blessings. But where there's little sacrifice, there's little blessings. And so they came into the service, and no doubt her heart just began to sink. Oh, my. Just the one little boy came to the service after all my efforts. All my years of saving, all the efforts of sweeping this out and getting in contact with the minister, maybe sending him cablegrams and all kinds of things, and all the things that she had went into for the efforts, and this one little boy. But he comes up to the altar that night at the end of the service, and Brother Bram says, that was Dwight Moody that led a million souls to Christ. Maybe she never even recognized that, Brother Barry. Maybe she didn't know. Maybe she thought all that, but just that one little soul. But Brother Bram said, one soul is worth 10 million worlds. So her efforts weren't in vain. Even if it hadn't gone any further than that, it's the little things sometimes. Oh, it's wonderful to see crowds and to see numbers. And oh my, it encourages me to see the numbers at the church growing. But if it's just the numbers that are growing, it's a failure. They didn't get a lot of response on that. But if it's just the numbers that are growing, it's a failure. Because Brother Bram said, he said, the Christian businessmen got up and they said, oh my, we increased so much last year and we got so many more Cadillacs and all these things. And they were weighing their success off of that. Brother Bram got up and he said, prostitution increased by 40% last year. He said, do you think God was in that? So it's not always about the numbers, although we appreciate that. It encourages me. I don't like to get up and preach to empty pews. They don't respond very well. Some of them are even quieter than most of you. They don't have a lot of response. I can't save a pew soul. I can't get a pew baptized. If I did, it'd sure be a chore, wouldn't it? Some of these things, you know, I'm not saying that we don't like to see the numbers, but what encourages me the most is to see spiritual growth. If we can see the people begin to get closer to God. When I can see, as we have lately, what used to when we started the church, I always tease that when we started the church, it was just a few families there. I think the first communion service that we had, half the church was gone out of town. And so I said it had been that way for a long time, that, you know, when it comes around communion, a lot of times people find an excuse or whatever to try to get out of it, and usually it's about 50% you see in churches that's there on a communion night. But we've grown to where about 70 or 80% of the church is here on a communion service. To me, that means more to me than if we had 700 or 17,000 or whatever it would be, to see that the group that's coming has grown to a spot to where, you know, it's not just we come on Sunday and check our list off and we go home and live like the world the rest of the month, but that you're getting into a condition where you can come and you can take communion and you can feel like there's something that's going on in your life, something that's going on in your family, that you're seeing spiritual growth. That encourages me more than anything. If it was just five of us and we could see that, I'd say praise the Lord. Brother Bram says again, in God Hiding Himself in Simplicity, 1963, he said, watch the simple things. It's the little things you leave undone, not the big things that you're trying to do. Now, I love the way that God designed this, because I don't believe it was just Brother Branham got up and said, well, we're just going to throw this sermon in here. But I believe God was leading him. And when he goes and he gets ready to preach the seals, you talk about a masterpiece, one of the most, well, I'll just say probably the most anointed sermon series that has ever been preached through mortal lips. And he preaches the seals, and he prefaces it with God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same. Oh my, you talk about something special to me. You know, because many times we look and we dig so deep into the mysteries and the doctrines and all those things. And I appreciate the mysteries and the doctrines. We'd be confused and in a mess out here without it. But it's more than just a mystery and it's more than just a doctrine. Because Paul got up and he told the church of Corinthians, he told them one time, he said, if I know all the mysteries, and if I can speak in tongues, and if I can prophesy, even if I give my body to be burned, even if I give all my money to feed the poor, all those things is wonderful. But he said, if I don't have love, then it's just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. A tinkling cymbal, rather. So it's the simplicity that God comes in many times that it goes right over the tops of people's head because they're looking for some great something. And when he goes to preach this great series of the unfolding of the word of the day and all these things being restored back to the truth, before he goes to do that, he stops and he preaches God hiding himself in simplicity. And he tells us, watch the simple things. Watch the simple things. And he begins to teach, but yet he always takes us back and he shows us how that when Jesus came, he didn't come like they expected him to come out of the corridors of heaven and a big, red carpet roll out and say, Caiaphas, here I am. I just want to let you know I'm the Messiah and all my, what a great job you've been doing, Caiaphas. All the, my, just the way you have the choir singing and all that sermon last Sunday, you did such a masterful job. And I see that, you know, dove sales and lamb sales are up 17%. Since you've taken over and all my, you're just doing a wonderful job, and pat him on the back. That's what they were expecting. But he comes in a humble little manger, a little baby born in a stable. And it was so simple. They said, that can't be him. That's the carpenter's son. He's not even a priest. He wasn't even born into the priesthood. He's out of the tribe of Judah. Just a little baby that was been raised up. And he's helping his dad in a carpenter shop in Nazareth, one of the worst cities in our area. That's too simple. And it went right over the top of their heads. All these great theologians of the day with their great denominations and their great steeples and their great swelling buildings with packing out thousands of auditoriums, and they couldn't handle a little Kentuckian that had a little cinder block building with sawdust floors. They couldn't accept that a message that would shake the earth would come through a ministry like that. They couldn't handle it when they would come out there, Oral Roberts and some of them in their silk purple suits and things, and come out there all fancy with rings on enough to send missionaries around the world three times, and come out there and see a little man come out there and say, let me shake you with this hand. It's closer to my heart, because he was covering up a hole in his suit because his brother had given it to him after he'd been in a wreck and it had torn a hole in that suit. They couldn't handle a ministry like that. But he told us, watch the simple things. God projecting his love, 1957. He said, no matter how little or small a thing that you do in his name, he knows all about it. It might seem insignificant, but yet if it's done in his name, no matter how little, he once said, if you give to one of these my servants as much as a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall not lose your reward. So it doesn't matter how little that you do, Christ always sees the little things that we do. And I'm so glad of that, aren't you, that he sees the little things we do. I'm so glad of that tonight. You know, there's brothers, I had a brother tell me recently, you know, they've got a large church and a lot of money flowing through their church, and they've been able to build 42 churches over in Africa. I thank God for that. I'm sure God won't forget that. But some of you sisters, you may not have the money to do that. You may not have the ability or the contacts or the experience to do that. But some of you sisters that I hear about, and it encourages me and blesses my heart to know that we've got sisters like that, that when a family's sick, you go and take them a meal. Or when a family loses a loved one, you step up to help out with the things, with the funerals and with the food afterwards for the families and things. You think God looks over that and thinks, well, you know, they just fed a few hungry people in a time of need, but this guy over here, he did all this. God is just as concerned about those little things. Amen. If you did it in the name of Jesus and you did it out of a giving heart and a caring heart, maybe that's all that you could do, but he looks on that just as much as the rest. Amen. There was a lady one time, she wasn't wealthy. In fact, she was a widow, and she was down to her last two mites. Not a lot of money, but she came by the treasury, and she wanted to do something for the kingdom of God, and she threw those two mites in there. Now, there may have been a man that had come through earlier that day. Maybe he had been a man that owned all kinds of farms and cattle and sheep and all kinds of things. And maybe he put 500 pounds of gold in the treasury. And all my campus has said, oh, God bless you, brother. Oh, brother, it's so, you know, you've always got a front seat. Anytime you come and you pay your tithes so faithful and God has blessed you so much. Oh, Brother Lee, I know you own your own company and we always want to make you welcome. Brother Ron, oh, my insurance agent, he works there. Oh, my, so good to see you. These brothers that come and support the church, oh, my. And then some little lady that comes in, maybe can only give about $50 because that's all of her income that gives in for her tithes on offering. And, well, we'll just put them off in a corner somewhere. Don't you realize you're leaving Jesus with dirty feet sitting somewhere? As you did unto the least of these, you did it unto him. And she came, and no doubt Caiaphas was so happy to see that man. Oh, here he comes again. I know his harvest just came in, and oh my, it's so good to see you, brother so-and-so, and we're so happy to have you this morning. And oh, I know you're a ranked sinner, but you know, we don't ever want to say anything bad about you because of the way you support the church. And he was so, and maybe this lady came by and looked there and She opens up her little changed purse and looks, the last that she has. And she says, Lord, I want to do something. And she puts that in. And maybe they were so busy meeting and greeting all those that had cattle and sheep and everything, they just passed her on by. And Jesus turned to his disciples. And he said, you see all those businessmen out there talking with Caiaphas? He said, she gave more than they did. They said, how on earth, Lord, could she give more than they did? She don't even have hardly enough money to buy bread for her children. He said, because she gave all that she had. Oh, there's a song about a little boy when a missionary comes through and he said, oh my, for a dollar you can sponsor a child to eat for a month over there overseas. And he said, for $2 you can do this and for all, so on. And the little boy looked at his mommy. He said, what if I give all? What if I give all I have? What would that do? What if we gave all this morning? I'm not talking about your bank account this morning. Don't get scared. And we're not going to pass the plate again this morning. But what if you gave all that you had? All your talent, all the spare time that you have, everything that you have the ability to do, what if you gave it to the Lord? What if you yielded it to him? What would that do? You may not have as much money to give as somebody else. You may not have as much prestige. You may not have as much popularity. But what if you just took what you have? Maybe you can sing a special. Maybe you can get up and testify. Maybe you can witness to somebody on the job. What if you took all of your ability and all of your spare time that you had and gave it to the Lord? What would that do? Oh my God, help us this morning not to forget the little things. Brother Bram begins to talk about the resurrection of the little sunfish there with the Brother Banks Woods and Lyle and their dad. And they're sitting there in the boat down in a river in Kentucky there on the Kentucky-Tennessee border. And they're sitting there in the boat and Lyle throws out. And, you know, Brother Bram tried to advise him that hook you're using is way too big for the fish. He said, oh, this is just how we do it down here. And, you know, they threw out and he brings back this little bitty sunfish that Brother Bram said looked like the hook was bigger than it. And he said, Lyle just ripped it out and threw it over there, threw the little fish out on the water. Had ripped its entrails and everything out, and there it laid for 2 hours. But Brother Branham said, Brother Banks Woods got to talking. He said, you know, Lyle, he said, there's a Sunday school teacher over here that used to teach us Sunday school years ago when we were children. And he said, we ought to just stop by and let her know that we got saved. And he said, the angel of the Lord happened to hear that. And he said the right thing. And he said, as soon as he said that, something said, stand up in the boat and speak. And he spoke to that fish. He said, little fishy, I give you your life. And he said, it took off and swam. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you'll never convince Brother Banks or Brother Lyle that it didn't happen. I'm sure of that. Brother Bram says it this way, and I've heard, but now I see in 1965. He said, I had a mini little spastic child on my prayer list praying for it. But when the vision come, it was for a little old fish about so long, about 2 inches long or three. Looked like the hook was as big as the fish. But what it was to show you. Didn't say it was for Banks and Lyle. He said it was to show you that God looks on the little things too, you see. Amen. The little things. Oh my. You know, God looks on the little things even sometimes when a prophet says something. And we think that, you know, it's just in passing. I want to give you a few examples this morning. I've had them on my heart for the last week, and we're just going to kind of change into a different channel here, but it's still looking on the little things. Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, it says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, I know there's great debate over, you know, whether everything Brother Branham said was thus saith the Lord or whether it wasn't. I'm not going to get into that today because I'll scare some of you to death. But I just want to show you that sometimes even the little things that was spoken in passing, that God didn't let them fall to the ground. Brother Branham, in 1933, God gives him 7 visions of the end time and shows him things that are to be. In 1933, most of you know what the visions were, but I want to focus in on one of those visions, and he talks about it in the Laodicean Church Age in 1960. He says, how many in here remembers me just having you stand and just saying it over and over? I'd tell you, watch Russia. Watch Russia, the king of the north. Watch Russia, the king of the north. Watch Russia, king of the north. How many heard me just say, just wave that over and over? The old timers, he says, you see back in the early part of the church. Just stand there and wave it over and over. Watch Russia, the king of the north. See what he would do, for all those isms will heap up into Russia. And most of us today, we read that and we think, okay, well, that's great. You know, that's scriptural about the king of the north and all that and Russia. But Brother Bannon was saying this in 1933. And from 1922 to 1991, Russia was part of the Soviet Union. So most people, if they were going to get up and say something about the King of the North, they would have said, watch the Soviet Union, because they were all unified from 22 to 91. Russia was just a portion of the Soviet Union. But the great power and the great, you know, even it's listed as far as the world leaders and the world countries and everything that came together to fight in World War I, World War II there, all these things and the union of different countries and all that. It's listed, not broken down into each individual country, Russia, etc., but it's listed as the Soviet Union is what fought with us as an ally. But Brother Branham gets up and he doesn't say, watch the Soviet Union. He says, watch Russia. Watch Russia. Watch Russia. And until about 1991, people would have probably phrased that a little different. But God looks down the road. He doesn't look just in our little time frame. Because if he would have said, watch the Soviet Union, we would have looked around today and said, oh, he must have missed it. But he didn't miss it, did he? Right. Hear ye him, 1956. This is June the 11th of 1956. And he's talking about, he talks several times and he uses this story, mainly in the handwriting on the wall. He talks about Belteshazzar. And he says how that Belteshazzar, when he saw that writing on the wall, and the Bible talks about how his bones begin to even come loose and things, because Brother Bram says it this way. He said he got all shook up. And Brother Bram says it this way in Hear Ye Him 1956. He said, oh, you that's running from nightclub and everywhere trying to find peace, you'll stand still one day. Brother Elvis Presley will be there, and he will really be all shook up too at that time if he don't repent. Now we hear that, and we're able to understand what he's saying. He says it many different times down through 1957, different places about this. And we look at it, and we kind of catch what he's saying and smile, because Brother Branham is saying that Elvis would really be all shook up on that day. And Elvis sang that song, I'm All Shook Up. But there's just one problem. That song hadn't been released when Brother Branham said this quote in 1956. Now he says it again in Corinthians Book of Correction, 1957, almost the exact same words. Could you imagine a man standing that's a jockey record spinner and playing old dirty rock and rolls, and something happened and got all shook up and all kinds of dirty old songs that Elvis Presley and these guys play, and then come back and impersonate preaching the gospel? Now when he says it this time, the song's already been recorded. But this song was written by a man named Otis Blackwell. And Elvis said in his own words, he said, I went to bed one night and I had quite a dream. This is Elvis. I went to bed one night and had quite a dream and woke up all shook up. I phoned a pal of mine and told him about it. By morning, he had a new song, All Shook Up. He calls Otis Blackwell on the phone and tells him about this dream that had him all shook up. And he writes this. But Elvis didn't record All Shook Up till January 12th, 1957, and it wasn't released to the public as a single until March 22nd, 1957. But in June the 11th of 1956, Brother Bram's already saying this line that he uses many different times about how Elvis Presley would be there and really be all shook up. You think that was just a coincidence? I don't. Corinthians Book of Correction, or we already read that one, I'm sorry. Life, 1957, June the 2nd. This is after the recording again. I'd imagine on that day when the sun refuses to shine and all the time stands still and melts into eternity, I'll imagine Elvis Presley will be all shook up on that morning. Sure enough, yes, his record will be a reality when he hears the bleeding of a million souls that he sent to hell. Think about the transition. Can you imagine being in Elvis's shoes in that day and seeing a million souls that he sent to hell, and being in Dwight Moody's shoes and looking the other direction and seeing a million souls? See what a difference, just a little things in our life that can lead you different ways. Elvis was Pentecostal. He sang in a Pentecostal church. Brother Bram said he had the baptism of the Holy Ghost on his flesh, but yet it was just an anointing. He didn't have it down where it counts. Many people walk around and feel his presence and, oh my, so good to be in church and all that, but it takes more than just being in the presence. You've got to have the presence in you. Amen. It's the little things. These are just little things that Brother Bram said in passing. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He didn't say, I predict or I prophesy, or he didn't make a big deal about this. He just said these in passing. But if Samuel's words, if God said, I didn't let none of them fall to the ground, what about the seventh church age messenger? I wonder how you'd feel about his words. The church in its condition. He says, I went into a house here not long ago to visit a sick man, And a lady was laying there, and a little old Oswald come in, hat sitting on the side of his head, and said, "Mammy, is dinner ready?" And this is the story he talks about where the boy takes the orange and slams it against the wall, and he said, "I wish you would have been my boy for a little while." But he says, this little old Oswald come in. He says, again, God keeping his word, 1957, he says, "Don't let your children, if he runs across the street to little Oswald over there, he's a nice little boy, but be careful who little Oswald is. Find out what his daddy is, what his mama is. They may be a hater of the gospel. They may have everything projected into little Oswald, and let your little boy or girl associate like that, and the first thing you know, he'll come back and be like little Oswald." Now, you know that's right. Now, we listen to this, and we associate it, obviously, he's referring to Lee Harvey Oswald and how the juvenile delinquency and what that had done created a person like that. But here's another problem. The first quote I read you was from 1956. And the second quote I read you was from 1957, and Oswald didn't assassinate Kennedy till November the 22nd, 1963. He says again in 1962, before this takes place, "So many of you make a mistake in this, end time of evangelism, June the 3rd, 1962. So many of you make a mistake in this, sometimes letting your children play out here, a little Oswald, see? I don't mean to be different now and starchy and so forth and be some kind of fanatic. I don't mean that. But you be sure who your daughter goes out with at nighttime, see?" Oh, I hope some of you parents are listening. He wasn't just talking to people in 1962, you know. In fact, a lot of things that he said, I believe, just went right over the top of people's heads in 1962. When he talks about homosexuality being on the increase and the whole world going insane and all these things that he talks about that we see today, I think most of it just went right over the top of their head. But now we begin to look back and see, oh, maybe he wasn't talking to them so much after all. He was talking to us. He said, "You be sure who your daughter goes out with at nighttime, see? Maybe you raised her a good, godly little old girl around the church, and the first thing you know, she gets out with Oswald or some of them, and he's an atheist, unbeliever, and her life will come up ruined, and don't know what he is, you see? Then he'll marry her, and look where your kids are, your grandchildren. Then, you see, be careful. God wants his people to be separated." I believe God even looked on the little things. The little things that was said. I believe God's mindful. Sometimes even as ministers, that doesn't put us anywhere near an office of a prophet, but sometimes even as ministers in preaching, Brother Layton knows, and Brother Hoover, different ones, Brother Arnie, that sometimes you'll say something and it'll be totally off in left field somewhere, maybe didn't have anything to do with your sermon, and maybe you'll wonder, why on earth did I say that? And somebody will come around and say, "Goodness, what was that one thing you said about? That didn't have nothing to do with the sermon. I don't know. I don't know why I said it." And then maybe a month later, somebody come around and say, "You remember when you said that? You just don't know what situation I was going through. And I just had this conversation on the way to church," and all these different things. That doesn't make us anything. That makes him everything. Because we didn't know about it in the first place. And we even wondered and questioned ourselves, "Lord, why? Why did I say that? That didn't make any sense." But it made sense to somebody. Amen. At Kadesh Barnea, 1956, he said, "Man keeps progressing, keeps getting more wiser. Your grandfather, as I said, went to see their grandmother in an ox cart. Your daddy went to see mother driving a horse and buggy. I went to see my wife in a Model T Ford. My boy's got an 8-cylinder Speedway, ever what you call it. Probably the grandchildren will have a jet plane." Now he's talking about how that his daddy would go and he would date his mother, Brother Branham's mother. His dad dated her in a horse and buggy. When it comes to Brother Branham's time to date, he goes and picks his wife up in a Model T Ford. When Brother Billy Paul comes along, here he is in a V8 supercharged car, and he goes out and takes his wife out on a date. And Brother Branham said, by the time he gets to the grandchildren, maybe they'll date in a jet plane. Well, Brother George Smith's son that married Brother Palmer's granddaughter, when they were dating, he was traveling back and forth to Georgia in a jet plane. So he did date her in a jet plane. You say, that don't mean nothing, Brother Nathan. It does to me. It does to me. It makes me recognize that even the little things, even the things said in passing, even the things out at the campfires and things that maybe some brothers didn't pay any attention to, and another brother sitting there and come and share the testimony, I was thinking this in my heart. I was listening to a little bit of Brother Biscoll's testimony last night before we went to bed, and I was trying to find a certain spot on there of something he said I was going to bring in this morning, but I wasn't ever able to find it and didn't want to misquote him if he said it different than I remembered. But he was talking about how that he would go out there hunting meeting with Brother Branham, and he would have all these questions on his heart, and he'd be so afraid to take Brother Branham's time to ask him, because Brother Branham was wanting to get alone there and relax. And he said, but it seemed like every time before they would get done going out there and hunting, he said, one of the days through there, Brother Branham would just lift up the tent flap and say, Brother Eddie, why don't you come help me get wood today? And they'd go out there, and they'd sit down, begin to talk, and Brother Branham would just go down, just through a conversation like I would, you know, sitting with Brother Layton. Oh, Brother Layton, how's Sister Layton doing? And oh, my, he'd just begin to talk like that, just a casual conversation. But by the time he got done talking, he had answered every one of Brother Biscoe's questions. That takes more than a man. That's God working through a man. That's God being mindful of the little things in your life. I believe he's still that same kind of God this morning. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. If the musicians will come, I promise I'm not going to keep you all morning. Or I guess it's afternoon now. I did keep you all morning. But in fairness, we didn't start till noon, so morning was already over. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Amen. I believe that God was working even in the little things. Amen. We'll listen to it soon. I've got a tape on my heart I want to play. But Brother Branham talks about how when he was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, he said the Lord woke him up one morning, told him to start walking. He got him and his family and another sister there, Sister Margie Morgan, that was helping him with the kids. And they walked down through Fort Wayne there. And Brother Branham said that the God told him, stop and eat here. And he goes into Miller's Cafeteria in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he sits down at the table, 9 o'clock. And a lady comes over to the table and begins to cry. Said, Brother Branham, I've been trying to get in the prayer line. My husband's sick. Said, God woke me up this morning and told me, be at Miller's Cafeteria at 9 o'clock. God working on both ends of the line. He said, I had a word of prayer for her. And Sister Margie said, Brother Branham, you better get out of here. Said, you're going to have, this place is going to be packed with people wanting you to pray for them. She said, Brother Branham said, God led me here. He said, he prayed for her. He said, they sat down and got ready to order their food. And he said, the angel of the Lord told him, just go on, just go on. So he gets up and gets ready to leave. He gets out to the front door, and a lady comes, said, starts to weep, said, Brother Branham, God told me be at the same cafeteria at 9:10 in the morning. He said, I walked down the road a little bit further, and he said, I told him, I just feel led to go walking in this direction. He said, you all go back to the hotel. And Sister Mita said, well, I've got to get some things for the kids. We'll just go over here and shop, and we'll meet up with you. And he said, he started walking down the street, and he said, the Holy Spirit told him, turn left here, turn right here, go here. And he said, just stopped him on a corner, said, wait here. And he said, I waited about 2 minutes. And he said, a lady walked by, dressed real holiness and everything. He said, oh, I thought that must be her. And he said, she just walked on by me. And he said, I thought, well, he's never told me anything wrong. He said, I wonder what this is. And he said, the lady walked a few more feet. And he said, she just stopped. And she turned around and she saw him. He said, she began to weep. She said, Brother Branham, she said, God told me to just start walking this way. And she said, I believe she had to go back that day, couldn't afford to stay another day or whatever in the meetings. And God led her right to her. And she said, I started to walk by you, didn't even see you, and something told me to stop. God's mindful of us. God works on both ends of the line. God's worried about the little things in your life. He's worried about the big things. He's concerned about you this morning. Amen. I'm just simple enough, I guess, to believe it. I don't question. I don't try to do like some of these guys, and they go out trying with the thought, oh, I'm going to prove this wrong and prove that wrong. I'm not trying to prove any of it wrong. I've seen too much right to even think about it. I'd be scared to death to say some of the things that they've said. But I just believe it. And, you know, even things that he said in passing. Maybe he didn't say, thus saith the Lord behind it. But when we look and we see so many things, this and that and the other, coming to pass just like he said, even in passing conversations, why would I want to put my hand to it? Right. Why would I want to come against it? I believe God had it all. He said in the seals there in 1963, he finishes up the seals and he goes to do questions and answers on the seals. And he starts to answer that question. And as he starts to answer it, he'd read the question wrong and he's answering it the way that he had read the question, and something stops him. He said, is somebody sick? He begins to look all over the congregation. He said, I felt like I'd taken candy from a baby. And he said, something said, read it again. And he said, I went back and read the question. And it wasn't that he was answering the question wrong the way that he had just read the question different than they ask it. And he goes and he reads it. He said, oh, this is what they're saying. And he reads it and he goes on. I believe if God was watching over that, he was watching over all of it. Amen. Amen. You say, oh, I can't believe that, Brother Nathan. Well, I'm just simple enough. I guess I do. So, amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. Aren't you thankful that he's the God even of the little things? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together. Amen. I believe this is fitting this morning. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance, put it way down in my soul. He's got it all. Oh, whatever you're going through, great big things, little bitty things, whatever it is, he's got it all in control. Every situation, he's got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance, put it way down in my soul. He's got it all. Oh, we can have complete confidence in him this morning. Oh yes, I put my life in his hand. Oh, that's where I wanted to stay. I put my life in his hand. So every road I walk on, I'm sure is in his plan. I put my life it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. So now I put my life, oh, wherever he would lead. Yes, Lord, I sing this together. Let's just stand today if you would. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Yes, I'm gonna praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, oh, whatever you through this morning, let's just praise him. Oh, I'm gonna praise the Lord. Oh, yes, now I'm gonna praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, oh, let's just praise him together this morning. Oh, yes. What it has in store, I'm gonna praise. Oh, no matter what the doctor says, still I'm gonna praise, Lord. No matter what my bank account looks like, I'm gonna praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I'm gonna praise the Lord.
it has in store. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross each and every day. Oh, and don't be ashamed to say that you know
spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you are born for this valley. to the ground, bound up with wings. Little eagle and fly, so spread your ground, just mound up with wings. God bless you, you're dismissed. Little eagle and fly, so spread your wings. Little eagle and fly, you weren't born for this valley. Drive your spirit to the ground.